Please pray with me. Lord God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts and all of our minds be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have any of you ever watched a soap opera? Anyone going to confess it? All right, good. So when I first met Shonda, she would watch the show The Bold and the Beautiful. Any of you ever watched that one? Okay, there we go. Some of you might know the story here. So Shonda and I, when we first met, I was into Shonda. I wanted her to get interested in me, so I said I'd watch The Bold and the Beautiful. Have something in common. At the time I first was watching the show, the plot revolved around this relationship between two main characters, Brooke and Ridge. And this is how it worked. They'd be married, have their happily ever after, and then something tragic would happen, break them apart. They'd end up with someone else. Something tragic would happen to break them apart from someone else. They'd end up together again, they'd be married, and that was the cycle over and over again. So when I first was watching the show, Brooke and Ridge were not married. Ridge was married to a woman named Taylor. They were married for several years, had three children together, and then this crazy woman named Sheila comes and shoots and kills Taylor. It's tragic. As if that's not enough drama in Ridge's life, it's around the same time he discovers that Eric, the man he called Dad since he was a little baby, is not his biological father. Right? Dun, dun, dun. His biological father is Massimo Moroni, and through Massimo, he learns he has a half-brother named Nick. Now, while Ridge and Taylor, you gotta keep all these relationships together, are married, Nick meets Brooke. And they fall in love. And then Taylor dies and Ridge is available. And who's Brooke going to choose? She chooses Ridge. And they get married and they go to South America for their honeymoon. This is a soap opera. Remember this. While in South America, Ridge is kidnapped by terrorists. Okay? Now Massimo and Nick fly down to South America to rescue Ridge. And while there, they discover that the terrorists have been hired by none other than Sheila, the woman who shot and killed Ridge's wife, Taylor. All right. Well, Massimo and Nick, they find Ridge and they untie him from a chair. They're getting ready to leave when suddenly you have Sheila and the terrorists come into the room. There's this big fight. And for whatever reason, this room has a giant, open, fiery furnace in it. And Sheila and Ridge are wrestling in front of the fiery furnace, and as they're wrestling, Ridge has the upper hand, but then he trips and falls into the furnace. Tragic. Because here, Brooke and Ridge were finally together again, finally going to have their happily ever after again, and now Ridge is dead. So that night, Brooke is devastated. She lost the love of her life, her husband. Nick is devastated. He lost his newly discovered half-brother that he didn't know he had till like a couple months ago. And Brooke and Nick console each other and love each other the way people love each other on soap operas. Next morning, Brooke is walking through the jungle, sorting through her thoughts. The sun is low. It's early morning. She sees the silhouette of a man with long, dark hair. Could it be? She rushes forward. Ridge is alive. He didn't die after all in that furnace, and she jumps in his arms. Now, Nick loves Brooke, but Nick knows that Brooke loves Ridge, so he promises never to tell Ridge what happened the night they thought he was dead. And then a few weeks later, here we go. Now you know it's coming. Brooke discovers that she is
pregnant.
And now you have scandal, and the question becomes, whose son is this little baby? Whose child is he? Now that's the question that our readings want us to ask today. Whose son is this little baby in a manger? Whose child is he? And if you know the story of Jesus' birth, you know it has just as much drama as the plot of a soap opera. All kinds of scandal. First you have Mary, young teenage girl, engaged to marry Joseph, but not married yet. And she finds out she is what? Pregnant. Whose son is this baby? Well, Joseph knows it's not his. They haven't been together yet. So how is Joseph going to handle the scandal? Well, option one would be to publicly shame Mary, to say she committed adultery, because that's what logic would say, right? How else do you get pregnant? But if he does that, she'll probably be stoned to death, and his reputation might take a hit for being cruel. Option two would be to say, you know what, the baby's mine, and they get married anyway. But if he does that, he'd be admitting to doing something he didn't do. He'd be admitting to having been with Mary before the wedding, and again, his reputation could take a hit. So he's going to take option three, which is end the engagement quietly, not make a big deal of it, and try to spare reputations. But what happens one night while he's sleeping? He gets a visit from who? From an angel. And the angel says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She hasn't committed adultery. She's still a virgin. She's pregnant by the who? The Holy Spirit. This child in her womb is the Son of God who's coming to save his people from their sins. Now Joseph wakes up. He takes Mary as his wife. The baby is born. They name him Jesus. And what's Jesus mean? It means God saves, which is what he's going to do. He's going to save his people from their sins. Can you imagine the scandal of trying to tell this story to your in-laws? Or to your neighbors or your parents? Most people probably wouldn't believe you. They'd say either you're crazy or you're trying to cover up a scandal by making up this story. So what's Joseph do? Instead, he raises the baby as his own. Even though he knows Jesus isn't his son, he's God's son. Now, I've been using the word scandal. This is the greatest scandal of the story of Jesus' birth, that he's God's son. Because why would the eternal, almighty, powerful creator of the universe have anything to do with a bunch of sinful human beings? We've turned our backs on God through our sin. Why wouldn't God just turn his back on us? Instead, what's he do? He comes not only to be with us, but he comes to be us. He becomes one of us and takes on our flesh. And talk about scandal. You have the eternal, sinless Son of God leaving behind his throne of comfort in heaven where he's in control of all things, and now he takes on flesh and finds himself helpless and lying as a baby in a manger. And why does he do that? Because of yet another scandal, because a bunch of children who've disowned their father. Through sin, we've turned our backs on God, and now we find ourselves lost, broken, and doomed to suffer and die. So Jesus comes and takes on our flesh so he might bring us back into the family. Jesus takes our flesh and our sin with him to the cross, and there he gives his life, putting to death our sin and our flesh with him on the cross. And then 3 days later, he rises from the dead in a new body, a perfect restored body, making our flesh new and good again and giving us life. And through what Jesus has done, God's Son, what he's done for you, you are now, who are you? Whose son are you? God's son, or God's daughter, God's child. And that's another scandal if you think about it, because the world would be quick to remind you, you have no place in God's family. Look at what you've done. Look at how you've treated others. Look at how imperfect you are. You have no place in God's family. You don't deserve to be called God's son, God's daughter, God's child. And yet, because of what Jesus has done for you, that's who you are. You have been purchased and adopted by Christ through his blood shed on the cross. You have been claimed as a child of God through the waters of holy baptism. And you have received, as God's child, God's gift of forgiveness in life. Every time he comes to you through his word, preached and proclaimed, every time you receive him in his body and blood offered at this altar. Whose son is Jesus? We can all say it. God's son. And because of Jesus, whose son, whose daughter, whose child are you? God's. So may you faithfully live as God's child. And may you receive his gifts today. Amen.